Today on Wings, getting to know social wealth economic indicators.
Social wealth economic indicators show the connection between the status of women and the health of a nation's economy. And one reason this is so important is women do the bulk of the care work, both paid and unpaid. And when this work is systematically undervalued, women remain poorer and less visible, and our economy forgets about the dollars and cents that they're contributing because our economic indicators don't actually include this very real economic contribution.
There's a river of birds in migration, a nation of women with wings.
Welcome to Wings, a series of news and current affairs programs by and about women around the world, produced and distributed by the Women's International News Gathering Service. Previously on Wings, Kelly Aramaris Watson shared excerpts from a webinar presented by the Center for Partnership Studies, criticizing gross domestic product as a very crude economic measurement tool. Today, you'll hear what Kelly learned at the follow-up webinar that looked in-depth at social wealth economic indicators, sometimes referred to by the acronym SWEI, pronounced sway. Here's Kellya.
What is unmeasured goes unnoticed, even if it is important. That is certainly true for the unpaid care work done by women and men around the world. Traditional measures such as gross domestic product, GDP, don't count unpaid care work as economic activity. And the gross underpayment of care work in the market vastly underestimates the value of such work to a nation's economic success. The Center for Partnership Studies, in collaboration with scholars, philanthropists, business leaders, social justice organizations, and caregiving professionals, are developing new measurements called Social Wealth Economic Indicators, or SWEIs. On January 22, 2015, I attended a webinar on SWEIs. Although you will hear only about half of the webinar, it should be enough to start you thinking about the importance of alternative economic measurements.
The Counting Care In webinar is designed as an introduction to social wealth economic indicators. I am Sarah Salty, and I'm the Director of Leadership and Learning Programs at the Center for Partnership Studies, and I'm delighted to introduce to you our presenter for today's webinar, Natalie Cox.
So why do we need social wealth economic indicators? SWEIs are a new set of indicators of social well-being and economic prosperity. They fill the gaps left by indicators of economic health, such as GDP, and also fill gaps left by alternative indicators of well-being. Social wealth economic indicators make visible the economic value of caring for people and nature, and they show how this illumination could impact the disproportionately high rates of poverty that we see for women and children in this country. SWEIs are built on a foundation of work by the Center for Partnership Studies and the scholarship of Dr. Rianne Eisler. Starting in 2007 with her book, The Real Wealth of Nations, which was hailed by Archbishop Desmond Tutu as a template for the better world we have been so urgently seeking. Then in 2010 and 2012, two reports published jointly by the Center for Partnership Studies and the Urban Institute explored the landscape of alternative indicators and identified critical gaps that the SWEIs initiative works to fill. From there, the CPS began its project on the current social wealth economic indicators. In order to talk about social wealth economic indicators, we really need to clarify the concept of social wealth. So when we think of wealth, normally we think of stuff, or we think of money or stocks and bonds and property. The idea of social wealth reminds us that, in fact, what we really value most is not just the stuff. It's our relationships with each other, our opportunities to learn and grow, the strength and vibrancy of our communities, and the health of our environment. And it turns out that in our current economic era, one that's driven very much by the knowledge and service sectors. It turns out that this social wealth is actually a stronger driver of the economy than it has ever been before. If the dynamics of this social wealth remain invisible and untracked, we remain unable to see and unable to manage the real drivers of economic prosperity. While in the past, this nation's economic growth has relied on industry, such as manufacturing, as a key driver, today's economy relies much more heavily on the creation and application of knowledge and information and the delivery of a range of services, from financial services to education, from healthcare to tourism.
The service economy also includes dog walkers, baristas, and Walmart greeters.
From an economic perspective, this means we need different types of workers, and we must place higher value on human capacities, such as creativity, teamwork, empathy, and the ability to work with diverse colleagues and clients. Since these capacities are now the drivers of economic success, we need to be able to track our investment in them and measure whether those investments are sound and impactful. The most widely recognized measure of economic health is still GDP, or gross domestic product. This was devised in 1934 as the barometer for economic success, but really for an old economy driven by industry and manufacturing. GDP is a composite of consumer, government, business, spending, and investment, and a nation's trade balance, which is the difference between the value of their imports and the value of their exports. In short, GDP measures the exchange of goods and services in the marketplace, but it doesn't measure all market exchanges or even the most valuable ones, and it also doesn't measure any exchange that happens outside the marketplace. GDP isn't, and was actually never meant to be, the barometer of the health and wealth of a nation's people, and it has significant shortcomings. Even in the 1930s, its developers warned it was not to be used as a measure of human well-being. GDP doesn't reflect the growing destructive inequality in incomes and distributions of wealth, or show the high return on investment from care work and early childhood education, time and time again identified as key drivers in this new economy. Not only are we in a new type of economy, but we also have new capabilities in terms of data collection, and we have data that wasn't available when GDP was created. With these abilities to track data, people all over the world are experimenting with indicators that are more directly tied to well-being and real wealth, and can also reflect patterns like growing inequality in wealth and earnings, and patterns of relative poverty or prosperity across race, gender, and geography. The social wealth economic indicators approach this vast arena of alternative indicators with a very unique conceptual framework. Our focus is demonstrating the connection between care and economic prosperity, that caring for people and nature is a key driver of the economy. So let's look at the indicators themselves and understand how they fit together within this new framework. We've been working with economist Indradeep Ghosh for the past year to create an extensive list of indicators from existing sources that compare developed nations across key domains. In this research, we've included data from the Families and Work Institute, the National Urban League, World Bank, the World Health Organization, the OECD Family Database, the ILO.
The ILO is the European-based International Labor Organization. The OECD is the Organization for Economic Cooperation and Development. Headquartered in Paris, France, it has 34 member countries.
So social wealth economic indicators use existing data in a new framework that tracks both the state of a nation's human capital and also investments in building that capital. The phrase human capital is one we've borrowed from economics to mean the quality of human resources available and the capacity of people to be productive in the economy.
You're listening to part of a webinar on social wealth economic indicators, SWAYS, featuring Natalie Cox, SWAYS Project Coordinator at the Center for Partnership Studies. I'm Kelia Ramirez-Watson in Berkeley, California. I couldn't resist interrupting Cox's presentation to interject the Center for Partnership Studies President Rianne Eisler, addressing a point I raised in the Q&A at the end of the webinar. I had said that I loved the phrase human capacity, but I hated the phrase human capital, which commodifies people, eliminating their roles as workers doing labor from the economic equation. This was Eisler's response.
This really goes to the question of use of the term human capital. We connect it with economic prosperity. Why? We want to not only have these SWAYS and the Caring Economy campaign engage other people who already get it, who have been using mainly the social justice argument, but we also want to engage the people who actually have the means to change the policies, government and business leaders. And so we do intersperse our conversation with terms such as human capital, which I agree commodifies. I mean, it's a terrible term, but that's what they understand. So we really don't take an adversarial position here. We take a position of trying to engage people within areas that have enormous power to make change.
Back to Cox's presentation.
We've organized the array of indicators that measure our social wealth into two major interrelated domains, human capacity indicators and care investment indicators. Human capacity indicators measure the state of a nation's human capital, and care investment indicators measure the investments, more like the right investments or the right policy required to grow that human capital. In more detail, human capacity indicators measure the degree of development of humans in a new economy for them to be productive and lead healthy lives. And care investment indicators measure public and private investment in caring for people and also in the people who do the care work.
On Wings, you're listening to excerpts from a webinar about social wealth economic indicators as developed by Rianne Eisler's Center for Partnership Studies. If you're finding it a bit of a mental workout, stay tuned to hear how these formulas root out major flaws in the U.S. economy. You'll hear mention of OECD countries. These are 34 relatively high-income countries that belong to the Organization for Economic Cooperation and Development. They seek to identify and coordinate good domestic and international policies. Now, back to the presenter, Natalie Cox.
So, in order to collect data efficiently, we further clustered indicators into subcategories, which include within human capacity indicators the subcategories of caregiving, education, health, social connectivity and cohesion, environment, social equity, and entrepreneurship and innovation. Within care investment indicators, subcategories are government investment in care work, business investment in care work, investment in protecting the environment, the natural environment, both public and private investment, and we have some comparative investment data. Some of these core indicators include in human capacity the time spent and the value of unpaid care work in society, enrollment rates in child care centers, child and maternal health, gender gap in earnings, our ecological deficits or reserves across nations, and measures of entrepreneurship and innovation that include allocations for R&D and new patents filed. Core indicators in care investment include spending on public family benefits, paid leave, investment in long-term care, employer support for child care, work flexibility measures, and percent GDP of public investment on environmental protections, which varies greatly. So What does pulling all of these indicators together in this new conceptual framework, what does this help us see that was previously invisible? Overall, social wealth economic indicators reveal a few things. They reveal the monetary value of unpaid care work, and this is something very unique about this set of indicators. The monetary value of unpaid care work and its impact on the economy is enormous. There's no other real way to see this in a cohesive framework. Social wealth economic indicators also show that investment in early childhood education and child care has enormous returns, not just social returns and human well-being and health returns, but also returns in terms of dollars and cents. Social wealth economic indicators also show the connection between the status of women and the health of a nation's economy. And one reason this is so important is women do the bulk of the care work, both paid and unpaid. And when this work is systematically undervalued, women remain poorer and less visible, and our economy very much forgets about the dollars and cents that they're contributing, because our economic indicators don't actually include this very real economic contribution. Within human capacity, within this category, let's look at a few of the indicators to show what they actually reveal, and we're going to focus on the United States. And we're comparing the United States with other developed nations. For the most part, the social wealth economic indicators look at developed nations in the OECD and do a national comparison. So social wealth economic indicators reveal that by far the United States has the highest child poverty rate of major developed nations. In this country, the richest nation in the world, according to traditional economic metrics, nearly 1 in 3 children is living in poverty. Sways also reveal that 1 in 3 women in the United States is living in poverty or teetering on its brink. Women over 65 are twice as likely to live in poverty as men of the same age. And what all of this taken together shows is a major root cause for this disproportionate poverty of women in this country is the systematic devaluation of the caregiving that's normally done by women. A main cause of this poverty is that these women were and still are underpaid and unpaid caregivers. As we've already said, child poverty is about twice the OECD average in the United States. We rank 30th in maternal mortality rates across developed nations. We have the highest infant mortality rate of all major developed nations, a lower enrollment rate for early childhood education programs than most developed nations, a higher gender gap in earnings than the OECD average. We pay child care workers lower than in most nations. Our teen birth rate is higher than all other developed nations, and in some cases more than 30%. We're one of only 12 countries in the world running an ecological deficit of over 4 global hectares per capita. And if we're wondering why we have these results, then we really need to look at the next set of indicators, the care investment indicators. And in this framework, we can really see that there are critical investments that the United States is not making in order to grow human capital and really support people in a new economy. So within the care investment category, let's look at a few of these indicators, again, to see how the United States compares. We see that the U.S. invests less than half as much as other OECD nations do in family benefits. This is financial help exclusively for families and children, including tax credits. So we also see within this category, for example, that we're the only developed nation one of only two nations in the world with no national funding for paid parental leave, although President Obama is pushing forward now a new proposal to Congress that would mandate federal agencies to provide 6 weeks paid parental leave to all of their employees, all of these employees of federal agencies, as well as create a $2 billion fund to help states design their own paid leave policies. And not only that, we also see that the U.S. invests less in early childhood care and education than any other major developed nation. Through the lens of this interactive and interrelated framework of two sets of indicators, it becomes clear that we're not doing a good job at producing human beings who have the levels of health, education, and equity that would enable them to function in a new knowledge service economy. When we look at other measures of economic health, it seems like we're doing pretty well, and we are. We really are in a lot of respects, but this new set of indicators is so revealing and really kind of paints a picture for the future, and one in which the United States very much needs to catch up with the rest of the world. So with the social wealth economic indicators, we also see that we invest about a third as much in environmental protections as other OECD nations, and we invest the least in long-term care and wages are lower for long-term care workers than in other developed nations. It's clear that our investment strategy has not been based on an understanding of the connection between care and prosperity. So what does all of this tell us about directions for action, our key leverage points for improving our economy? Taken as a whole, one clear direction that sways point us in is the urgent need to revalue and support care, people who do the care work, since it's this work that builds the human capacities that now drive our economy. Care work can be done in homes, parenting, caring for a child, caring for an aging family member, and there are ways to support it, and we're not doing a very good job at supporting this work that's unpaid. Care work can also happen in the market. Think about formal childcare systems, preschool, long-term care and home care workers, early childhood educators, the list goes on. The important thing to remember is that both types of care work are devalued, leaving care workers, who are mostly women, un- and underpaid. We can support care work through policy change and investment, and the type of investment that social wealth economic indicators work to make the economic case for. At home, we can push for paid parental and sick leave policies and caregiver tax credits. In the market, we can support caregivers by advocating the application of minimum wage laws and wage increases for domestic workers and fairer pay for educators. Within our Caring Economy Coalition, members are working on all of these fronts. And our job is to provide the base of evidence that helps them make the economic case for their work and develop the conceptual frameworks that connect the dots between all of these different projects and policies. To support these policies, SWAYS provide quantitative data on the economic value of unpaid care work. For example, a recent Australian report shows that if unpaid household care work were included in the GDP, it would add another 50% to national GDP in Australia. In our social wealth economic indicators research, we also have similar numbers for the United States, the state of Massachusetts, and several other nations who all reveal similar numbers that unpaid care work, if quantified, would add an additional 30 to 60% to national GDP. As for paid care work, direct care in this country is the fastest growing job sector, largely because the population 65 and over is increasing exponentially. Yet, direct care workers only earn an average of $10 an hour. That's about $7 an hour less than the average wage earner. So where do we go from here? and how might we adapt social wealth economic indicators for use in the future? Well, a few ways to use social wealth economic indicators include showing the benefits of caring policies, such as paid parental, sick, and family leave, better pay for care workers, caregiver tax credits, flexible hours, and adequate funding for early childhood education. SWAYs are useful because they make this case in not only the social benefit terms, but also economic and business terms. Some next steps for SWAYs and for our team will be to create resource kits for public policy and business leaders to really implement the use of this new conceptual framework and understand how local governments can pull together the right types of data within this new framework to show the benefits of the policies we've already talked about. Another project that we're pursuing, and we're pursuing funding to create a composite social wealth economic index, which would essentially aggregate all of these indicators down to one aggregate number to very clearly portray how nations stack up against each other and potentially how states stack up against each other in the next few years. We have a very robust group of organizational partners who worked with us to launch the SWAYs and bring together a panel of experts from all from across the fields of economics, philanthropy, caregiver advocacy, and more, to really talk about how these new indicators can work to support their policy advocacy and their own work. And we invite you to join us and to join our group of organizational partners who are really carrying out the work of designing and implementing caring policies all over the world. These partners help us promote the work and also serve as intellectual partners as we move forward to create a more caring economy. So please contact us if you would like your organization to be a partner to further develop the social wealth economic indicators.
You have been listening to part of a webinar on social wealth economic indicators, SWAYs, featuring Natalie Cox, SWAYs Project Coordinator, with Sarah Saltee, Director of Leadership and Learning Programs at the Center for Partnership Studies, and Rianne Eisler, the Center's President. The website of the Caring Economy campaign is caringeconomy.org. That's caringeconomy.org. The website for the Center for Partnership Studies is www.partnershipway.org. That's www.partnershipway.org. WINGS thanks the Center for Partnership Studies and the Caring Economy Campaign for permission to rebroadcast their webinar material. For WINGS, I'm Kelly Ramirez Watson in Berkeley, California.
To hear this or other WINGS programs again, email wings@wings.org. And please like our daily news feed at facebook.com/WINGS Radio. WINGS thanks all our supporters, including your local community radio station, Suzette Cullen, and Genevieve Vaughn, author of many books and articles on the gift economy, including Forgiving, A Feminist Criticism of Exchange. The WINGS sound logo is from Libana's album A Circle Is Cast. This is the Women's International News Gathering Service.